ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय called Divinity in Divine Service. So this evening, text number 19. Tada Rajas Tamo
Tadarajastamo bhava Amalubhadayascha ye Jitaitarna vidham Tam satte prasidhati
Rajah
in the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Bhava, the situation. Kama,
lust and desire.
Lobha,
anchoring.
Adayaha,
others.
Cha,
and.
Ye,
whatever they are.
Chetaha,
the mind.
Etai,
by these.
Anavidham,
without being affected.
Stitam,
being fixed.
Satve,
in the mode of goodness.
Prasidati,
thus becomes fully satisfied.
Translation: as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Srila Prabhupada's report. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta, or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in a state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Sarvadhiti Namaha. Namaste Sarasatare Dei Gaura Vani Pucharane Yivishesha Sunyavari Pastracha Dei Sutarane
Oma Gyanam Timaram Dasya Garanjana Shirakaya Chakshu Miritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakam Patru Vyashchakrita Sindhu Deva Javatitanam Avanegyo Vaishnavegyo Namo Namaha.
So in this chapter we are studying the process of devotion service. And in the previous verse it is said, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Savaya Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Bhaktya Bhavati Naistiki.
By regular Nityam, he said, what you do every day, Bhagavat Seva, by serving the devotee, who's one kind of Bhagavat, or the other thing is regularly hearing or attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, just as we are doing tonight, Bhagavata Seva. What happens? Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, all that is dirty in the heart is destroyed almost completely. And Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki, devotional service to the Lord is fixed, becomes fixed. Prabhupada is established as an irrevocable fact. This is a stage called Nishtha. One becomes fixed in devotional service. And so now, tada, this verse begins, tada, at that time. What is happening? That with the dirty thing, the inauspicious abhadra, the inauspicious things in the heart, the unwanted things that are destroyed are rajas tamo bhava, the state of being, that states of being that come from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And here they explain, like kama, lobha, and so on. We know that from the Vedas we understand about the material nature has three gunas, or three modes of nature. Material nature acts in three ways. We can see outside, we can see that there's a cycle of creation, maintenance, and destruction. This is the cycle of nature. And then when there's destruction, the end products of destruction are reassembled in a new creation. And so it goes. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. New creation, maintenance, and destruction. This is the cycle of nature. Everybody can see this. When things are being created, put together, coming into being, then material nature is said to be working in Raja Guna. It translates as the mode of passion. Springtime is mode of passion time. The heart turns to love, everyone mates and has babies. The sexual activity is particularly this karma. This is one of the symptoms of the mode of passion. Then things are maintained for a while, and then things are destroyed. So when things are being maintained, when they're stable and steady, this is called this mode of sattva, mode of goodness. And then when things are being destroyed, falling apart, rotting, decaying, degrading, this is called tamaguna, the mode of goodness, and the mode of, mode of ignorance, or darkness, tamaguna. This is the cycle. Also we learn from the Vedic literature that human psychology is also conditioned by these modes, so that people, our own mentality and our own behavior is influenced by these modes. So, and this is described in the Bhagavad Gita very thoroughly. You can study this and you can see. When there's the mode of passion, unlimited hankerings and longings, desires to want more and more, to desire more and more. Modern civilization, modern contemporary civilization is pretty much, its values and standards are those of the mode of passion. Economic development is the number one thing. This is the mode of passion. In fact, everything is distorted because it's so
overblown, a hypertrophy of the mode of passion. And today you don't see so much mode of goodness, when people are calm, peaceful, self-satisfied, alert, intelligent, observing everything, receptive, but at the same time detached. That we don't see so much. For the mode of passion, you're noticing everything, but I want this, you want that, you have tradition that narrowly fixed from the objects of desire. And their mode of goodness, you don't know anything at all. Oblivious. Ignorant. Excuse me, as I said earlier, mode of ignorance, I mean. Oblivious. Not aware of what's going on. Lazy, sleepy, mentally disturbed, in illusion about what's happening. You notice also that the mode of ignorance is also increasing. World Health Organization says the number one health problem in the world is going to be mental illness, because it's increasing. That's because the result of the mode of passion is misery. Because desires increase, fulfillment decreases, you can never get what you want, you always want more. And so you become angry and frustrated, and then you fall into despair, intoxication, mental disturbance, and so on. So we have to recognize these symptoms. So when there's kama, excess of sexual desire, or lobha, greed for various things, restlessness all the time, this is the mode of passion. And mode of ignorance, laziness, procrastination, sleep, sleeping too much, and also intoxication. This is the mode of ignorance. So what it's saying is that when one becomes steady in the practice of devotional service, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, serving the devotee, you will see as a clinical sign the decrease in the modes of passion and the modes of ignorance. This is what it's saying. This is what happens. One becomes steady and you will see. So that's why this Krishna consciousness or devotional service is an applied science. So then, and if I say I'm practicing devotional service, but these things are not decreasing, then I'm doing something wrong. That's why one goes to a teacher, a spiritual authority, say, I'm trying to practice, but these things are bothering me. What can I do? We can look and see, well, how we can fix things up so that these things go down. So that's what should happen. And then one becomes sthitam sattva, one becomes situated in the material mode of goodness. It used to be some people were naturally born or situated in that mode. You don't see that too much anymore. These are the brahmanas. The real brahmanas are actually like that. But Brahminical culture has disappeared. And all the brahmanas, they're all IT workers. And in the service, in the context of the mode of passion, they've given up chanting many mantras for COBOL or other programming languages. But even if we are not situated naturally in the mode of goodness, by the practice of devotional service, one can come to the platform. The whole human race is considered pretty much in the mode of passion, because the animals are in the mode of ignorance, and the devas, they are in the mode of goodness. So we can that mode of passion, we can go become degraded down to ignorance, so we can also from there go upward into the mode of goodness. And in the material mode of goodness, one is happy. One is actually happiness comes from sattva, not
rajas. Rajas, the result of rajas is misery. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, what modern civilization needs to know, that all this raja guna, big industrial enterprises and efforts, and us just going to produce misery. And you can see it already. It will not work. People will not become happy by this method. But when they're satguru, then people are happy, self-satisfied. As you said, not the self-satisfaction of the truth, but just that detached and interested in knowledge. Also, the main thing about satguru at that time, if one is in the material mode of goodness, then is in an ability to understand spiritual subject matters. In the mode of goodness, the idea of the soul, in the mode of goodness, one can begin to understand aham brahmasmi, that I am spirit, that I am not the body. This is practically impossible for people in the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. But in the mode of goodness, one can actually begin to have real spiritual experiences. Because people don't have these experiences, they think all these things are mythology. The soul, God, all these things. They think, what is that about? I don't know anything about these things. But of course they don't. They're not in a position to know about them. But if they follow our instructions and at least come to the mode of goodness, then they'll start to actually be able to understand these things. So this would say, what this verse is saying, one becomes situated here in the mode of goodness. And from there, one goes further into the transcendent position. The spiritual situation is called Vishuddha Sattva. Brahma Bhuta, Prabhupada uses this term here, Brahma Bhuta, the stage or the situation of Brahman. Here is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. In the spiritual world, it's called Vishuddha Sattva because there's no coming into being and there's no going out of being. Here in the material world, there's creation and destruction and creation and destruction because there's sattva here, but also on one side, Rajaguru, the other side, Tamaguru, they're all together. But in the spiritual existence, there is pure sattva. Only sattva. Nothing comes into being, nothing goes out of being. So therefore, the spiritual situation is called Vishuddha Sattva. So one continues, first within the material realm, one comes to the platform of sattva, and then by performing further devotional service becomes to the stage of Brahman. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, mamchayo vyamacharena bhakti yogina sevate sarunam samikichayatam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. That a person who practices devotional service, abhyavacharena bhakti, by steady or unwavering devotional service, sarunam samikichayatam, he comes above the modes, and brahmabhuyaya kalpate, he attains this brahmabhuta stage. This is what happens. This is the experience. I mean, it's not that this is something that is there is sufficient evidence of all of this. Spiritual people have been following this path for so many centuries and left the record of their achievements. There's just no doubt about this, that this works. Why people are throwing all this out is nonsense. Or
superstition or mythology or all these things like that. They just don't know. They have no idea about the science of the spirit and how to achieve it. And it's a practical applied science. You do certain things and these things will happen. If you don't do them, then you can't expect to get the result. Just like if you have to do some... I remember when I was in college, we had some chemistry course and we had test tubes and you'd follow the instructions and you hold your test tube up and these blue-green crystals would precipitate out of the clear liquid in your test tube. You did it. It doesn't happen. They said, look, go back, clean your test tube. You've got contaminations in there somewhere. Try it again and follow the instructions and make sure that everything is good. And when you finally get it right, it happens. So if it doesn't happen, you can't say, oh, the chemistry is wrong. No, you've done something wrong. So this is a science. I want to read you a little bit about one place in the Bhagavatam about this Brahma, the state of Brahman. This is from the fourth canto, 30th chapter. This is Lord Vishnu who is speaking this verse to the Prachetas. These were the sons of a king who had all decided, who were sent to Lord Shiva for spiritual instruction. And Lord Shiva taught them how to pray to Lord Vishnu. They performed severe austerities for a long time, and Lord Vishnu appeared to them on the back of Garuda and spoke to them. And this is one of the verses that he spoke to them. Navyagat vrityate yashno brahmaitat brahmavadihi na huchyanti na sochyanti na hishyanti yato vitaha. He says, always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in their activities. The All-Knower, the Supersoul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is the word that's used here, navyavat, like everything is like new all the time. Navyavat, vidaye. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated state of Brahma-Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament, nor become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-Bhuta situation. So this is the ample descriptions. Krishna has said also described Brahma-Bhuta, nasochati, nakanshati, neither hankers or laments. Samasarveshu, bhuteshu, and sees all living beings as the same. This is the spiritual platform. So Prabhupada writes in commenting on this verse, a devotee is inspired by the Supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. Well, this is another thing about sattva. The Lord is in our heart, the Paramatma, the knower of everything. And the Lord who is in our heart is always wanting to give us spiritual guidance and direction. If we are covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, we cannot hear that very well. We're tuned to the wrong radio station. The signal comes in not very clearly, but when sattva is there, then we can start to get inspiration and direction from the super soul in the heart. So he says here, a devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. So this is another thing that happens. One is encouraged at all times by the Lord in the heart. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. This is the experience. We can chant the Hare Krishna Mantra all the time, and it's like new. But if I chant Coca-Cola, 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 it will not work. Even though that's such a fine brand name, and all over the world, it will not, it would just be called boring. But the activities of devotional services may see that we are doing things the same every day. We are in the temple, we get up in the morning, we worship the deity, we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, we read Srimad Bhagavatam in a regular system of devotional service. But in the beginning, one does this as a matter of spiritual discipline. But as the heart becomes clean, then one gets a taste for this. And it's like new. This is Krishna, Nova Yovanam. The Lord is Nova Yovanam. Always new, always young, always fresh. Never gets tired, never gets boring. Always new jokes, new things to say, looks better every minute. This is Krishna. So this is a fact, a fact about Krishna consciousness, that no matter how much we do it, it gets better all the time. Because this is spiritual reality. Some people don't understand this. The trouble of the mode of passion, people do these intensely exciting things. They like to go to movies where things are being blown up. And to make this movie, they had to destroy 200 vehicles. they like this stuff, but I see these kids playing video games, which is... But after a while, they get sick of it, and they go on to another one, they go on to another one, they go... Yeah, that doesn't satisfy, and this doesn't satisfy. And they have to come up with newer and newer thrills because you get jaded. This will not happen in Krishna consciousness. The same old Hare Krishna mantra turns out to open up and open up and open up and open up. And there's no upper limit. Spiritual happiness and love of Krishna, it has no upper limit. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya says about the cultivation of the Sankirtan, of the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, Anantam Buddhi Vardhanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. It's not an ocean that stays in one place. It is always increasing. Krishna's happiness is always increasing. And because there's just no maximum of happiness. It's just there's no upper limit. And therefore, Krishna's happiness is increasing, and the happiness of the devotees is increasing all the time. And to become a devotee and to come on the platform of devotional service is to participate in this festival that is always more and more and more. Prabhupada mentions in this purport Rupa Goswami. A verse by Rupa Goswami. And he says, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna has produced. Just these two syllables, Krishna, he says, Varnadvayi, these two syllables. Sorry. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears in the mouth, dancing on the tongue. Dancing in the mouth.
And when that happens, then we desire to have millions and millions of mouths. One's not enough. We want to have millions and millions of mouths. And when the name enters into the passageway of the ears and appears in there, then one desires millions and millions and millions of ears. This kind of greediness is good. This kind of greediness will not disappoint. And finally, when the name enters into the courtyard of the heart, and there becomes your friend, then it conquers all the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Therefore, I do not know how much nectar this holy name can produce. So again, this is Rupa Goswami talking about his own experiences, that the name comes into the tongue and dances under the in his mouth, and he wants to have thousands and thousands of mouths, and then in his ears he wants to have millions and millions of ears, and then finally it goes into the chamber of his heart and becomes his friend there, and then all the activities of his mind become stunned, and the senses become inert. This is his. These are the very intense experiences that people have through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And this is really the success of human life. Maybe not get there, that's the best thing, is to get there, but to make progress in that direction. And we're going somewhere. Either we're going toward Krishna or we're going away from Krishna. It's very hard to stand in one place for very long. So we're going toward or go away. So we should go in this direction. We should go in this direction of Krishna consciousness. So here we see it begins by taking up the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is a very, very, very liberal policy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that anyone can begin chanting. And if one just chants the Hare Krishna Maha mantra with trying to give some care and attention in the matter, then actually one will see right away some change taking place. I know this from my own experience. When I first started chanting Hare Krishna, I did not know what to expect. It was just an experiment to see what would happen. I didn't have any particular faith. I was attracted to the Bhagavad Gita, but I didn't know if any of this stuff was true or not. And just as an experiment, I began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And to my great surprise, very quickly, things began to change. Based just what's described, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance began to decrease. And suddenly, I didn't know what to do with myself. Or especially when I went with my friends, what they wanted to do, I wanted to do anymore. It wasn't attractive. So I said, whoa, this is a very powerful bit. Who are these Hare Krishna people that I better see who they are? What this mantra is that they're giving away to people because it's so powerful. So this is Vedic science. Mantra means a sound that can purify the mind and purify the heart. And especially the Hare Krishna mantra is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's there before Mahaprabhu. You can find it in the Upanishads, actually.
But Mahaprabhu, especially because he chanted, he's especially powerful for this age. And it's simple, huh? Two syllables, Krishna. Everybody can say that. Hare, Rama. Just three words, each one two syllables. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In that mantra, the whole spiritual world is there. Krishna is there, because Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. In the beginning, because of our contamination, we cannot actually hear or grasp that name. Still, it's there for us to chant. By chanting this name, we become purified, and then the name Krishna, the name becomes revealed to us. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra and gradually we'll find out what it is we are saying. Because Krishna is present in that name, he's pure and purified. And so when it enters into our mind and our hearts, our ears, our mouth, all our senses and mind become purified. And because of that activity of this treatment by transcendental sound, the modes of passion, the modes of ignorance will decrease. How much? Well, it depends. First of all, we have to want them to disappear. There's many people, the last thing they want to happen is have the modes of passion go away. They're increasing the mode of passion. They don't understand about. But if we understand that these things, passion, ignorance, they're causes of suffering and unhappiness, we should. They're controlling us, we should want them to go away. So if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra with this in mind, that I want these inauspicious things, these abhadrani, things that to go away, anarthas, unwanted things, to disappear, and then chant with that in mind, and just try to chant with some feeling or with some care and attention, with some respect for the Hare Krishna mantra, you will see something happening. You will see this. It will work. If you don't want it, then that's another thing. But if you want to become free from the control of this lower modes of material nature, we don't want to go down with the whole world. We'd like to be able to float above the destruction all around us. This is the way to do it. Kali Yuga is very bad. It's going to get worse and worse. But those who take shelter of this Hare Krishna mantra, we become immune from the effects of shelter from the bad influence of the age of Kali. We will be protected by the holy name. We're protected by Krishna. And actually, we can mitigate many of the evil effects of this Kali Yuga. So we not only do it for ourselves, but we do it for everybody else. Please, this is very, very important for ourselves and for the rest of humanity that we take advantage of this science of spiritual life and this spiritual science. It is a science. This is the science we need, and we should bring it to the world. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Anyone have a comment or question about any of this? Yeah?
Even though the mode of business is the highest mode, shouldn't you want to
rise above that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You come to the mode of goodness and from there you go to what's called the Shiva Sattva or the Brahma stage. Purified business. But only in a very unusual conditions will one go straight from the mode of passion or ignorance to the transcendental stage. You have to be elevated to goodness first. Saram? Will I give us a little what?
A little preview, in other words, like, so why are you waiting?
Well,
I'm leaving on the 28th. I have to go first of all to Germany, from the GBC for Germany and Austria, Governing Body Commission, and I have a meeting with all the temple presidents and all those other things. And I'll be in Germany for about 2 weeks, and then I go to Bayapur. In Mayapur, I'm teaching for a couple of weeks, class in Bhagavatam. And then there's the annual meeting of the Governing Body Commission, of which I'm a member. That's about a 2 week long meeting also. So all the leaders in this town will come around, and we do this once a year by Prabhupada's desire. Then many people stay there for the Gaur Purnima festival, but I come back here. And so I'll be back about a week before Gaur Purnima. Gaur Purnima is our real New Year, in a way. But also, this New Year is coming. It's always a good idea to observe a New Year, but the Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar actually starts with the birth of Mahaprabhu. On Gaur Purnima, we'll have a festival. I don't know what day of the week it is.
Saturday.
Huh? Saturday. So it'll be a really big festival. Many, many people will come to our Gaur Purnima. We'll do Abhishek for Mahaprabhu or Chaitanya Nitai. Yeah, March 3rd. It's March 3rd. Yeah, depending on the weather, we may be under 8 feet of snow too. We don't know. Yeah, we could do some chanting. So this is the appearance of Mahaprabhu when he appeared, and also at the same time the holy name descended along with him, because you may remember that when Chaitanya was took birth here in Navadvip, there was a full eclipse of the sun, and so everybody, because it was considered inauspicious, everybody was chanting Hare Krishna and bathing in the Ganges. That's what they would do at those times during the eclipse. We pretty much ignored them here, but in India, you know, still people. So everybody was by the Lord's arrangement, everybody was, even though they weren't devotees, they were at that time, because of the fear of the inauspicious influence of the eclipse of the sun, they were all chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we'll have a big festival, a big feast here for Purnima. That'll be March 3rd. Okay. Hey, we have some announcements now.
Once again, let's give them a sugar bowl of applause. We only have important service to do abroad, but we'll be eagerly waiting you to come back in March. So we have three sponsors this evening. I'd like to call them off to receive some Krishna Prashadam. The first is the Mahajan family, Kailaya and the Pustina Mahajan. The occasion is Shubham, the grandson, second month birthday.
Yeah, here he is, all dressed up like Santa Claus. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hey, the little guy, let's put him on. But don't eat it.
We also have Bhupendra Sani. There, okay, please come forward. His family is sponsored for the pleasure of Lord Krishna and for peace and prosperity.
Very good.
This was worn by the deity, so it's the size.
And also, Mahabhava Sarup Mataji, she started the feast as well.
She here?
Is she with us?
Not in the room.
She sponsored on the occasion of her husband, Krishnananda Prabhu, and her mother-in-law, Maria. And they married again. So for these radical devotees, please let's chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on their behalf. Everybody together, very enthusiastically.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Coming up this week, on Saturday, is Ekadasi. It's recommended on this day that we fast from beans and grains and increase our devotional activity. So I encourage you to do that. Next Sunday, for the Sunday feast, we're going to have an extended program. This is Eve, so we'll have our